he pretty much said, I don't want customer service. We don't want to have to deal with customer service all the time. So every time we get a problem in to do with the platform or something someone's struggling with, I'm going to make sure no one else has that problem. In last week's episode, I spoke about podcasting and what I've learned from this podcasting journey so far. And I thought it would be good to follow up on that and talk about my top learnings from the expert guests we've had on. So I've broken down six learnings from some of the guests, six of my favorite learnings from some of the guests. And I'm going to run through those with you now. And I'm going to kick that off with episode one, and that was Dan Priestley. So I've heard Dan talk quite a few times, and I've heard him talk about this before, but I thought it was a good one to bring up because not a lot of people sell in this way. And that is that whole one-to-many approach of selling. Now, with Dan's SaaS product, ScoreApp, you'll notice that he doesn't do one-to-one demos. He's very much a one-to-many type of seller. So you may find him doing physical events, you may find him doing Zoom events, but he'll always have a lot of people on there and he'll be running through like a talk, like a presentation that will then end with just a quick pitch to sign up for a free trial. And for example, on a Zoom call, he may have 40 people. He'll get them to turn their cameras on, he'll get some interaction going, he'll have some Q&A at the end. And he'll then offer a free trial at the end, and he gets very good conversions from that. And this even spills over to things like physical events, not their own physical events, but other people's events that they may sponsor. Now, a lot of people might sponsor an event and they might have an expo stand and their logo all over the place. But Dan's very much of the attitude that he wants a speaking slot if he's going to sponsor an event. Because rather than just having an expo stand and they're fighting for attention with all these other expo stands, all eyes are on him if he's on that stage and they're all listening to him. And it's a very, very different way of selling, if you like, than if you're, you know, trying to grab people while you're at an expo stand and people are rushing past you because they don't necessarily want to be sold to at that stage, but they do want to hear people talking on that stage. So I think that's... he has a very different approach in that sense. And I think it's something that a lot of us can learn from as well, rather than that one-to-one approach of selling, whether that be via email or calls or demos. Think about how you can go more along the lines of that one-to-many approach. So that's the first one. The second one was when Mark LaRouche spoke about storytelling. Now, if you listen to the episode or whether you listened or not, I think we all know that storytelling is really important. It can be massive for your brand. We've seen big brands have massive success because of the stories that they've told and the way they've told them. And I think we all know it's important. But I think what a lot of us struggle with, myself included, is how do we pull those stories out? And Mark talks about two different concepts that I really liked. And one of those is the River of Life, which is in his book. And the other is the Time Machine, which he spoke about on the episode. It's also in his book as well. And just kind of a brief breakdown of those. The River of Life being, the way you approach this is you sit down with a large piece of paper, maybe an A3 piece of paper, turn off your phone or put it on flight mode, get some focus music on. So something like Brain FM or something like that. So no lyrics or anything, just some focus music. Sit down, give yourself half an hour and just map out everything that has happened or all the key points that have happened throughout your life. Now, these don't have to be real key impacts on your work life or why you did or do what you're doing. Don't think of it like that. Just write everything down, all the things you remember from when you were a child, the key moments in your life. Just get everything down as much as you can. And you will find that there's stories, there's a lot of stories you can pull from that. And a lot of them will relate to why you do what you do today. So that's one concept. The other one is the concept of the time machine. And that is, if you could go back to 3 points in your life and give yourself some advice, your past self, some advice, where would you go, when, and what would that advice be? And again, that's another way of being able to pull some stories from just your past and relate it to why you are who you are and you're doing what you're doing. So I thought they were really valuable concepts to learn from as well. The third bit of advice, which I thought was really valuable, from Gillian. And if you listen to her episode, she talked about the sneak attack method. And this is kind of an approach where, rather than publishing what you're doing or promoting what you're doing on social media, so for example, here's a thing I'm selling, here's my latest podcast episode, here's this, here's that. If you listen to that episode, you'll know that Jill had real struggles originally with promoting her podcast. And that's because she was using audiograms and posting up, here's my latest episode and things like that. And she just wasn't getting any traction. And the idea behind that being that if people aren't listening to your podcast already, they just skip past it because it's not relevant to them. They want to be entertained or learn things when they're scrolling through social media feeds. So the answer to that is just to offer value all the time. So that may be quote cards from your episodes. It may be video clips from your episodes. It may be carousels. But that whole sneak attack method is about just being a bit more sneaky about how you promote things. So always offer value. So even if someone's not interested in your podcast or your service or whatever it might be, if they look at that post on social, they will get value from it still. And a small percentage of people will read the caption. And some people will get to the end and see, oh, this is from a podcast. And an even smaller percentage will say, do you know what? I want to give that a listen. It seems really relevant to me, this podcast. So it's about being a bit more subtle and thinking value first. And I think some of us know that we should be doing things like this, but we still don't. You know, so many of us still push things on social, whether it just be through stories or through our actual posts. And this is about avoiding that completely. So one of the questions I asked on that episode was, should you still use audiograms, but mix it in with the value stuff? And the answer really was no, because people are then just skipping past it. It's not relevant to them. They're just listening to an audio snippet. They're not really getting the value straight away. They have to go and listen to the rest of the episode to get real value from it. And they're skipping past, and often they're skipping past the valuable stuff. So don't do that. Offer value, value, value. So I thought that was a really important lesson from Jill. Now, the fourth lesson was from an episode I did with Alessandro, and we were talking about alternative marketing methods like Reddit ads, Slack marketing. And these are still things that I'm looking into. I'm currently setting up some Reddit ads. I am looking into Slack marketing, but I haven't started it yet. But I am on a lot more groups now, so I am seeing approaches of marketing coming my way, which has been interesting. But one of the things that Alessandro didn't dive too deep into, but he did touch on, was talking about ManyChat. And this is something I do really want to try. And if you've ever heard, I think it was on Jenna Kutcher's podcast, if you've ever heard her podcast, she's worked with an agency that specializes in like social automation and using ManyChat, and she's having huge success with it. And this is something I'd like to look into as well. You might want to have a look at it, but there's a lot you can do with it. So a couple of examples are, and I think these are some examples that Jenna was trying. So she was doing things like putting a post or a story up and saying, I've got this, some sort of lead magnet checklist or something. If you'd like access to it, just comment checklist or something like that in this post or in the story. And from that point on, it's mostly automated. So someone might comment checklist, and then the auto response, which will look like it's from her, will say, oh, thanks a lot for showing your interest. Do you want me to email that to you or send it here? And if they respond something along the lines of send it here, then it will just post the attachment. If they say, oh, can you email it to me? Then it will say, oh, sure, what's your email address? And they then give their email address, and it then hooks into whatever it's integrated with. So it might be MailChimp or Klaviyo or ActiveCampaign, whatever it might be. And then it will email it to them, and then their email address is in that list. So it's a way of list building. It's a good way of building interaction. So even if you don't get their email, you're still then opening up a conversation with them. And at that point, if they do carry on the conversation, the people managing those accounts can then jump in and carry on that conversation manually. So there's a lot you can do with this, but that's just one example. And that's something I really want to give a go. But also think about things like Reddit ads, Slack marketing, Quora ads is another interesting one I'm looking at. So think about some of these other alternative marketing campaigns as well. The fifth one I wanted to talk about was when Jeff Ram was on the podcast, and he talks about celebrity service. And if you've heard him talk about this before, you'll know what I mean. If not, basically the way he describes it is, if you had an A-list celebrity, like a Hollywood star, come into your store, your office, or where your place of work, wherever it might be, they were interested in your products or service, how differently would you treat them? How much would your service improve? What would you do differently? And the difference between how you are now with everyone else and that's your gap in performance in terms of customer service. And if you've listened to Jeff on YouTube and come across some of his videos, you'll know he's got some great content out there. And one of the things I love about Jeff is he's got so many examples. So I would recommend diving on YouTube, like search Jeff Ram, and you will come across tons of stories. And they're entertaining stories, but they're just inspiration for what you do. And they might not always be relevant, but they will inspire you to just think a bit differently about what you offer and the kind of service you offer to prospects, to existing customers, and so on. Actually, since that episode as well, I came across an old photo from a holiday in Tenerife a few years back, and I sent it to Jeff because I thought it was just something that was really relevant for him. And I sent it with the caption, "How could you say no to your kids going into this store?" And it was just a photo of the front of a toy shop. But rather than just a bog standard front door, and that's it, that's your way in, they had the front door right over to the side. But then they had little step ladders, and they had these giant pictures of penguins on the glass at the front. And the kids can climb up these little step ladders and go into the mouth of the penguin, go down a slide, and they land in a ball pit in the shop. Now, you can't really say no to your kids like having a go on that, can you? And then you've got to go in the front door, and next thing you're in a toy shop. So you're stuck in there for a while. And I just thought that was genius. So just little things like that, but not just with physical stores and places of work. You know, there's also a lot of inspiration there for just, you know, an online business offerings and things like that as well. It just make you think a bit differently about what you offer, the service you give, and so on. And the sixth and final one I wanted to look at was something from the episode that I did with Rand Fishkin. And if you listen to that episode, you'll know that we spoke quite a bit about SparkToro and alternative marketing methods. But one of the things that really jumped out at me and I really liked about the episode was towards the end when he was talking about customer service. And he was saying that when he left Moz, they had, including free users, around 1 million users. And they had, I think, 10 to 12 full-time customer service people. Now, with SparkToro, they've taken a very different approach. They have, I think, including free accounts, they have about 100,000 users. But they get something like 10 to 12 customer service emails a week. And a lot of those aren't problems. They are just, oh, how can I make better use of this? Or I'm trying to do this. What's the best way for me to do it? It's more about using the platform rather than bugs or problems or you know, people being unsure about how to use it in general. The key takeaway from that, I think, was what he was saying about Casey, his co-founder. He pretty much said, I don't want customer service. We don't want to have to deal with customer service all the time. So every time we get a problem in to do with the platform or something someone's struggling with, I'm going to make sure no one else has that problem. And he's just built that platform in a way that when problems do occur or people are struggling with something, he just makes sure it doesn't happen again, or they're not going to get that same query in again. And because of that, they hardly get any customer service queries. And, you know, it's something that they can just deal with themselves. You know, Rand does a lot of them. So it's just taken a whole load of headache, I guess, out of the way. So I thought that approach to just building the product in a way where you're just not going to get customer service queries, because every time you get a problem, you're not just sticking it in the FAQs or thinking, oh, okay, when we get that this next time, we know how to answer it. Actually, change the product, build it in a way where it doesn't matter anymore, because people aren't going to have that problem. It's going to be very obvious, or it's explained in the platform, or it's fixed, or whatever it might be, whatever that solution might be. But it's a great way of approaching things. And I thought that was a really valuable takeaway from that episode. And that is it. They have been my favorite six learnings so far. There's obviously been a lot more than that, but they were probably my six favorite. It'll be interesting to hear what yours were. Let me know if you've got some different favorites from the episodes you've heard so far. And we've got some great episodes lined up, so they're coming soon. So hopefully there'll be a load more learnings to come as well. Hope you enjoyed that, and I'll speak to you soon.